Johnson Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Thousands of people in North Carolina are still in the dark and cold as investigators look into widespread power outages.
Duke Energy says it's earmarking $100,000 for the Moore County, North Carolina community whose residents could be without power for days. Andrew Wilkins is one of them.
It's frustrating. It's unfortunate. It's frankly, in some levels, infuriating.
The FBI has joined the investigation into the power substations being shot Saturday. Moore County Sheriff Ronnie Fields.
The individual that done the damage knew exactly what they were doing.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas weighed in.
Early evidence suggests that it was deliberate.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
A final push is underway in Georgia ahead of tomorrow's big Senate runoff.
Republican Herschel Walker made close to half a dozen stops in North Georgia.
We've been going around the state in certain areas just to encourage people to get out and vote, and I want to get a chance to shake everybody's hand.
Senator Raphael Warnock made a couple of stops as well.
Call your father and your mother, your sister, and your brother. Call Lottie, Dottie, and everybody. Tell them it's time to vote.
The latest polling showing Walker 3 percentage points behind Warnock, but within the margin of error. Sandra Parrish for CBS News, Atlanta.
Religion and gay rights clashed today on Capitol Hill, where the Supreme Court heard arguments over a Colorado company that refuses to create websites for same-sex weddings. CBS's Jan Crawford.
The state of Colorado said this would set a terrible precedent. If she could refuse to do that, then other people could have license to discriminate, as the lawyer for the state put it. The liberal justices, of course, were very concerned about that. Where would you draw the line in this case?
A ruling is expected sometime next year. Health officials are urging Americans again to take steps to combat COVID and flu. CBS's Alexander Tin.
CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky warned the agency is now tracking an expected but worrisome increase in COVID hospitalizations, now accelerating around the country in the wake of Thanksgiving, combined with an early and worrisome rise in flu hospitalizations.
Russia carried out another big missile attack in Ukraine. CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb is in Kyiv.
This is the moment Ukrainian forces shoot a Russian missile out of the sky.
Yes, contact!
After Moscow launched another frenzied attack across Ukraine, knocking out power in several regions and killing civilians. Speaking to the nation, President Zelensky said, energy workers have already begun restoring power supplies. Our people will never give up.
Moscow says it shot down two Ukrainian drones attacking its air bases. That debris killed three people. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Did you know there's a conservative advocacy and benefits organization with over 2 million members and counting? It's AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. Hi, this is Mary Walter. Here are three reasons why you should consider joining AMAC right now. First, AMAC saves you money from discounts on travel and lodging, cell phones and plans, access to insurance products and more. Joining AMAC is a powerful tool against inflation. Second, with a bi-monthly magazine, daily website content, podcasts with America's thought leaders, and an app that delivers insightful coverage of the issues that matter most, AMAC is a trusted source of information. And third, the reason that people say is their favorite, is that AMAC fights for your conservative values on Capitol Hill. With more than 2 million members, AMAC is a voice that cannot be ignored, working tirelessly to preserve the freedom secured by our Constitution. Go to amac.us/liberty and join today. That's amac.us/liberty. amac.us/liberty.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
Childhood. should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy tonight with lows around 16. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Highs level off around 32. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 17. A mix of clouds and sun Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 33. 35 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 31.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. This is the day before the big election. Tuesday, December 6th, decision day for the good folks here in Georgia. As we have spent the last week and a couple of days here in Atlanta, talking with voters, talking with union members, talking with people about what this election means, what it doesn't mean. Interesting bit that I've come across, and seems to be before the midterms, Republicans were talking an awful lot about enthusiasm gap. I'm feeling that gap here, which is why I'm predicting that Reverend Warnock will be reelected as senator here in Georgia, and it will be a sizable victory. I'm thinking it's going to be somewhere between 5 and 7%. That's where my thinking is at this moment, based on what I've seen on the ground, the reactions, and the fact that there isn't a Brian Kemp on the ballot to pull people in on the Republican side. So there's really nobody who's excited about going to the polls and voting for Herschel Walker, given all of the insanity that's been surrounding his campaign. I mean, when I thought that Trump's campaign was off the beaten path, when I thought that the campaign for governor in Pennsylvania with Scott Wagner the last time and now Doug Mastriano this time, when I thought that was, well, comical and off the path, this one, wow. This one, I don't know that we'll see another candidate like Herschel Walker for a very long time. Or we're going to see the one, or the other side of this, or the Republicans are going to put one up just as bad, if not worse, in the future, just to prove that they can. But here's the thing. I think you're going to see Reverend Warnock reelected by somewhere 5 to 7 is my guess. I know the polls have it much closer. I'm not getting that vibe here. I'm getting the vibe that there are people who are active, engaged, they're ready, they're fired up, they're ready to vote. They've already voted. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And like I said, the last several days, how did SB 202, how is that going to play in the outcome? The only chance Herschel Walker has is if SB 202 keeps enough people from the polls, if it eliminated enough people. But I'll tell you, I haven't talked to anyone yet that hasn't been motivated to go over that hurdle. So maybe by putting more stringent barriers in place, maybe they've steeled people's spines and their resolve to get out and vote. And we'll see. We'll see what the numbers come out. But that is my view. Now, I've gotten a ton of email because, you know, the last couple of days here on the program, not been thrilled with our president, not been thrilled with the decision on the railway situation. And look, for anybody who's listened to the show any length of time, you know I said over the summer there was not going to be a strike. This wasn't going to happen. I'm upset about how they went about the aftermath. This could have been handled so much better. So everyone who's sending me anger email, stop at this point, because I'm not taking the anger. I'm just not. Understand, and this is where my mindset is, and I've said this numerous times before. Understand, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm not politically right, nor am I far left. I'm a working person. And I've said that for years. At the end of the day, someone tried to pin me down. Well, what flag are you? And I said, look, I'm a green liberal. I'm a green conservative liberal libertarian. If it's a good idea, if it's going to help working people, it's going to make lives better, we should be doing that. I want to get stuff done. I'm a working person. I want the job done at the end of the day. I want to be able to sit down with a beer and go, we accomplished something today, made somebody's life better. Now, I am a registered Democrat in the state of Pennsylvania. We have closed primaries. I'm a registered Democrat, yes. And I'm a registered Democrat by choice, because right now the Democratic Party is the only hope working people have. As you've heard me say before, Republicans hate working people. Look at the policies that they pursue. And this was an opportunity, in my view, for Democrats to prove my point. Yet they fell down on the job. They could have put one piece of legislation forward that had those sick days in there to say, look, we respect people and their right to have a day off if they get sick and not be disciplined and fired. And we're going to put it in the law. We're going to put it up for a vote. And then let Republicans vote it down. Because they did, didn't they? There were two bills. The one you knew was going to force the contract on all the workers. And the other one that was the performative one that says, yeah, here, Democrats and a couple of Republicans all voted for sick days. And, well, the Republicans shot it down. This was, didn't need a crystal ball, didn't need one, but knew it was going to happen. So when I get all this email saying, oh, you've got to be, don't be so harsh. In fact, one gentleman, D, sent me this email, said, yo, brother R, please stop blaming Mr. Biden. These are tough decisions to make. Not everyone will be pleased. Be grateful what you did receive. Instead of anger and disappointment, maybe learn a new skill in the modern economy will be more uplifting. As you know, the rail industry will be automated in the near future. Also, would you report on the poor worker who fell into a vat of bubbling iron only to be incinerated at Caterpillar Company? Thank you for your time. Bless you and your family. Thank you, Dee. Appreciate it. But here's the thing. I am blaming Biden for this because this he had complete control over. This the Democrats had. And yes, I know these are tough decisions. I know everyone's not going to be pleased. I know that. But you lost an opportunity here to pull people together. Democrats could have moved forward on that one bill, had Republicans shoot it down, and say what I've been saying all along. Republicans hate working people. See, here it is. And then move on legislation to get everyone, to bring everyone, liberals, conservatives, Democrats, Republicans, independents, you know, agnostics, everybody together to say, yeah, all workers need to have sick time. All workers need to have the ability when they are sick to stay home without fear of reprisal, without fear of discipline, without fear of loss of pay, without fear. You know, I have my union brothers and sisters going, they can't even believe how bad it is for these engineers and conductors that they can't schedule a dentist appointment. They can't schedule a day off if they're sick. So this was a winning message, a winning opportunity, and they let it slip through their hands. Why? Well, the corporate wing won out. And this is why I say I'm a working person. I want things that are going to make working people's lives better. It's that simple for me. Now, you know, Dee points out that there was a gentleman killed at Caterpillar back in June. The second person at the same facility within a year. OSHA fined, I think, the company, the contractors, something like $10,000 for the first guy's death. Now they're talking about something like $145,000. You go, that's it? people fall 20 feet into a bubbling vat of molten steel and are incinerated, and that's it? A little slap on the wrist? Knowing that this was there, knowing that this danger was there? And again, I keep coming back to, I want smart regulations that protect workers on the job. This should have never been allowed to happen the first time, let alone twice. And do you think anyone's going to jail? No, no one's going to jail. And this is why I say we the working people have to come together. We the working people have to be the ones to rise up and say, you know what? We're not taking it. We're going to fight. And this is where, again, the reason I'm a Democrat is that's the best chance we've got in this moment. If the Republican Party proves to me that they're the party of workers and they're going to move forward on legislation that's going to get us a living wage, that's going to get us the dignity of having some sick time when we get sick, that's going to give us the respect of having time off and still be able to have health security and retirement security and all, then I'm going to be a Republican. But I don't know in my lifetime that's ever going to happen. I know they're flirting. You see Marco Rubio trying to flirt with, and look, the Democrats left an opening. They left the window open, and the rats will crawl through when you leave the window open. But ultimately, did Republicans move the legislation? The answer is no. I've been doing this show over 17 years. I keep asking, what piece of legislation have Republicans proposed, introduced, debated, passed, and gotten signed that sole purpose? The sole purpose was to make working people's lives better. Name one thing, because I haven't found it. So please be my research department. Prove me wrong. Where is this mythical, magical legislation? It doesn't exist. Now, here's the thing, and this is the reason that I'm so hard on Joe Biden. I expect better from Joe Biden. I expect him to do what's in the best interest of working people. This was extremely disappointing, and he needs to know this, and we need to hold them accountable and move the entire party in that direction. And we need to demand from our elected leaders that they do give a tinker's damn about working people, that they do care about our families and our health, because the other side doesn't. And this is where I come back to. Working people hate, Republicans hate working people. It's in the policy. But Democrats, you got to do better. If you're going to be the party of working people, prove it. If you're going to talk the talk, you better put on those comfortable shoes, borrow them from Obama, and start walking the walk, or I'm going to hold you accountable. It's that simple. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1944. That was the day that seven employees at Detroit's Dodge truck plant stopped working to protest the firing of a union brother. When five of the seven were fired for the stoppage, it sparked a wildcat strike. Another 320 workers downed their tools and left the plant. It was World War II. The Dodge truck plant had been converted into wartime production. Workers there built heavy trucks to ship to allies in China. The unions had signed on to a no-strike pledge after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt demanded labor peace to aid the war effort. Leaders of the AFL and CIO agreed to no strike, no lockout clauses. The CIO went even further and agreed to give up overtime pay. Most union members were not consulted on the pledge and did not vote on it. When they learned about the pledge after the fact, many workers who had just come off victorious organizing drives were in no mood to make concessions. They witnessed surging wartime profits for their employers and no cap on executive salaries while they had to deal with wage freezes and rising inflation. Many were confronted with increasingly unsafe working conditions, violations of newly won contracts, and arbitrary discipline and firings. Despite the no-strike pledge, wildcat strikes were common. During the war, there were over 14,000 strikes involving more than 6 million workers. In 1944 alone, when the workers walked out at the Detroit Dodge truck plant, there had been more strikes in auto plants than at any other time in the auto industry's history. Workers found that short, spontaneous walkouts quickly resolved their grievances, regardless of the no-strike pledge. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So the days are ticking away as we're looking at the Georgia runoff December 6th. That is the final day to vote. Early voting is over. Ended Friday at 7 p.m. If you didn't get it in early, you got to stand in line on Tuesday. Make sure you get out to vote. If you know somebody in our Georgia listening area, make sure you're pushing them to the polls. Make sure that they get out to vote. But here to share some thoughts on, well, this runoff and the importance of the runoff. I've asked Linda Harris to come talk with us. Linda is Unite here, Local 23. Shop Stewart, also one of the local canvassers here. Getting out the vote, knocking on doors, kissing babies, pushing people to the polls. Remember December 6th. Linda, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate you taking time with me.
So as you're out talking with people, what are you hearing?
I hear a lot of positive about Warnock, how they can't wait to vote. They're anxious to vote. And they're going to get out there. Even those who voted before, they're like, in awe if they have to do it again, but they are going to do it again. And then those who didn't vote for whatever reason, one is because it was lax thinking, oh, it's in the bag. They didn't do it. But this time, they're voting.
So you're seeing motivation.
Yes.
That's what I want to hear. You're seeing motivation and people ready to jump out there and cast their ballots. Because one of the concerns that I have, my friend Greg Palast has done this great movie called Vigilante Georgia's Vote Suppression Hitman, which is still free to view at vigilantemovie.com. Thanks to Jamie Foxx for funding that. But it's talking about SB 202 and all the roadblocks that have been put in the way of Georgia voters. Do you see any of the fallout from SB 202 and the roadblocks? I mean, this truncated runoff period, a huge part of that.
You know, anytime you tell somebody, no, you cannot, that makes them more angry and more determined to do it. So as people of color, over the years, have always rose above of the expectancy. So you tell us no, we push harder. If you say yes, then it's okay. You know, it's just like we believe that there is nothing we cannot do as a people. And that's what we have to realize. It's not just me. It's not just you. It's we as a people. And it doesn't matter what color you are. We as a people got to go forth and do better, get better. Realize things are not going to change unless we change it. And that is doing a minimum, and that's by voting. Yeah. And that's the minimum you have to do is vote.
So, you know, as you're out there, you know, knocking on doors and doing the work that you're doing, making phone calls and all that to get people out to vote, this really isn't about changing hearts and minds. This is just about motivating people, right?
Right. To get out there and actually do the thing.
Because, you know, I would hope, you know, I've yet to run into someone who goes, yeah, I haven't really decided. I think people are in their camps. It's just a matter of now making sure that people get to the polls, right?
Right.
But if there are people out there who are undecided, and I can't imagine that there's anyone left, why Raphael Warnock? I mean, for me as an outsider looking into Georgia, I can't believe that Herschel Walker is anywhere near being competitive just based on the things that I've seen from the outside. But, you know, give me the spiel on Reverend Warnock.
Well, the problem is just that people believe that there was no way he would have had a chance. Because the Reverend Warnock, what he has done in the past couple of years that he was in the Senate, because what he's done as he's championed the $35 cost for insulin for people, he's fighting to expand the affordable housing units for housing people who can't afford it. He's taking on greedy oil companies to lower gas prices. I mean, he's been doing this past 2 years. So when you think about what he's been doing, not what he did years and years ago when he was young, I'm talking about the past 2 years or even the past several years, his church, he's always worked for the community. That's what we have to look at, what he's actually done the past few years, working for the community, working for the people to get them what they need as what we need.
Now, I look at this, and again, you know, people have asked me, why am I here? And I'm going, this is a national election. Getting another vote into the Senate could help us move positive legislation. And I look, you know, last week, President Biden made what I thought was a horrible decision on the rails, on the rail strike potential. And it comes down to math. We don't have the votes in the Senate to move forward on any legislation that's going to be helpful for workers. So having Reverend Warnock in the Senate, it gets us one vote closer to getting sick days for every worker, to passing something like the PRO Act, to making it easier for workers to fight and join unions and get better wages. It just seems it's the math, Linda. It just comes down to the math for me.
Well, you're right. It does. We have to get more. We got to unbalance it because right now the Republicans are holding us hostage, so to speak. So if we don't get stronger, the Democratic Party gets stronger, then we're going to see them take more and more because no matter what the Democrats put forth, whether it be Biden, what he says, what he wants, the bills he wants to pass, he can't pass them without support. So the Democrats has to get stronger so that he can be stronger and work for the people. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
For the people.
You listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Linda Harris. She's Unite here, local 23 Shop Stewart. Also local canvasser here in Atlanta, knocking on doors, kissing babies. Now, I understand during the midterm election, you were up in my state of Pennsylvania doing this gig as well. It seems like you're almost a professional at this.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but I'm at a time in my life where I want to stop talking about it and I want to be about it because nothing changes by me talking to my neighbor and complaining. I have to get out there and I have to say, you have to vote. Your vote counts. I have to encourage people to vote. People are so discouraged. Nothing's going to change. Well, no, it's not. If you don't do anything, no, it's not going to change. I keep telling people, you have to do something to make a change. We have to. We do not have a choice. When I look at my granddaughter and my grandson, I look at them and I say, I did the best I could with what I could. And the minimum is voting. And right now, what I can do is get out and knock on people's doors. I don't even know, and ask them to vote.
No, it's that simple. And this is that kind of an important election. But aren't you kind of tired at this point? Every Senate election seems to end in a runoff. And or do you just like campaigning and elections so much here in Georgia that you want to play into overtime?
No, I wouldn't say that. I am tired. But when I go to a door and they tell me thank you for doing what I'm doing, I get an extra energy boost. Now, I'll tell you, I do get some doors I knock on. They're grumpy because we are tired of you knocking on our doors. We're tired of the commercials. They're tired of the tardy ass. They are. I understand that. But we still have to press on. But like I said, when I get that one person that tells me thank you, it lets me know I'm encouraged and I'm encouraging somebody else.
Gives you a little bit of a boost, and I understand that. I've been doing it myself. So what's the sentiment? I'm kind of curious the sentiment that you're getting from your members since, you know, President Biden and the rail situation. I'm curious, are you hearing anything positive, negative? Where are your members on that, or is this not an issue? Are you solely focused on what's going on here?
Oh, no, we know about it, and we are not very happy about it, you know, because a strike, we are the support. That's how we've been able to get ahead over the years, not just this past few years, but every time the union has come forth together. And it's not just those who are fighting the railroad system, but it's every time we fight. We fight as a unit. We're all together. It's not just one union, Unite Here, or the coal mining union. We're all together because we have one purpose: to receive justice and fair treatment and fair wages so that we all can just work one job and get health care. Our health care is
Congratulations to the winners of the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway. The following individuals won a $50 gift card from the participating sponsors: Petra Inderdahl of Scandinavia from La Taqueria, Dave Colby of Wisconsin Rapids from Jennings & Company, Ken Hilgers of Nakusa from Piggly Wiggly, and Brenda Pietrowski of Adams from Hoozles at the Lakes. And the grand prize winner of two club tickets to the New Year's Day game, Dave Colby. WFHR and WIRI would like to thank all who participated, and especially our sponsors. Have a happy holiday season from Civic Media and locally Grown Radio.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you could write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
You could chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You could ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
After I came home from Iraq, I could still hear the booms. Makes it hard to be a good mom.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran.
DAV helps veterans get the benefits they've earned.
Thanks to DAV, I was able to begin to heal.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
My victory is being able to be here for my children.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin, and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy tonight with lows around 16. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Highs level off around 32. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 17. A mix of clouds and sun Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 33. 35 Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 31.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
The 8th District has been trending more competitively in recent years, but so far no Democrats have announced they're running. Representative Deb Andraca has already said she's not interested. In sports, the Bucks are at Orlando tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
extremists? Some of the GOP's vigilantes say they'll personally go door to door to get proof of fraudulent voting. What could possibly go wrong with that?
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Well, only a couple hours until the polls open here in Georgia, and well, we're gonna get it done. I gotta tell you, I hope Georgia, please, Georgia, can I say please enough, Georgia? Yeah, I can't even believe we're in the position we're in. But here to talk a little bit about, well, the position that we are in with the potential of a guy who I don't even think should be allowed to walk near the Senate, let alone be seated in it. I've asked our good friend Rich Ojeda to come share some thoughts on the election, also some of the other stuff. Rich is the chief guy over at No Dems Left Behind. Rich, thanks for taking time for us.
Anytime, brother. You know me. Anytime you give me a call, if I can, I'm going to be there.
So, I'm looking at this, and I'm still stunned. I am still stunned we're in this position that it's this close and that you've got this guy. I mean, is it just me?
You know, let me tell you, there's so many things that really sicken me today. And when you see a person like Herschel Walker who can't even get two sentences out without messing them up. He lies like him and Donald Trump are literally neck and neck for who lies the most. And it's an issue. It's a race. It's a close race. You know, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, if anything, vote for Reverend Warnock so that we can basically keep Joe Manchin in check. You know, because if Warnock wins this, you know, we no matter what happens, the Democrats keep the Senate. But if Warnock is able to win, then it's 51-49. And what that does is next time Joe Manchin wants to try to exercise his muscle like he always tries to do and hold legislation hostage, it ain't going to work.
Right.
So, I mean, vote for Reverend Warnock because of that. But, you know, the mere fact that, you know, it's a close race really sickens my heart because it shouldn't be. You know, anybody who's got any decency in them whatsoever would honestly never cast a vote for somebody like Herschel Walker. And yeah, it's just sad.
It just shows how bankrupt the Republican Party is and void of ideas and void of vision for the future. I mean, look, if there were a candidate who at least had a platform, at least had an idea of where they want to take the country and really could articulate their ideas, okay, I get that it should be close because we want to fight over ideas. But this guy's talking about vampires and werewolves.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the thing is, that, you know, this should not even be an issue. If I mean, this right here shows the people in Georgia that think they're Republicans. And remember, let's be honest, Republicans are old, rich, white guys. You know, they're not the average, we're hardworking people. They're not the poor. But the Republicans have convinced the poor that they're Republicans. And it's really sickening. But this shows you how little respect the Republicans actually have of the people in Georgia, that they believe they could just grab somebody that played football back in the day and throw them in the mix, and the people are automatically going to vote for that guy because of football. And sadly, they're right, and it's such a sad place to be in this country. You know, I mean, they have no respect for the voter in Georgia if they think that all they have to do is throw something in the middle there, and these people are going to jump all over. And sadly, a lot of them did. And wow.
But I think he beat Alabama. So that, as one guy explained it to me, he goes, you know, there's guns, there's the Bible, and then there's SEC football. And the Bible and SEC football are kind of neck and neck in a lot of people's minds, which you go, yeah, wow.
Yeah, but, you know, when we're talking religion, hold on for a second. Hey, baby, what was that? What type of religion? Methodist. Yeah. And we're finding out, my wife was talking to me earlier today, that a lot of Methodist churches in these parts of the country are now starting to split, and they're becoming, you know, they're splitting with you have the Methodist church, and now you have the conservative churches. So now the churches are calling themselves we are the conservative church, because they want to completely separate with, you know, I guess churches that believe in helping the poor, that believe in not judging, you know, believe in things like that. But wow, that's where we're going in this country.
No, I've always said, Rich, and I think we've had this conversation in the past, you know, when we finally decide that we are a good, God-fearing Christian nation and we stake that flag and the, you know, that's it, that we are that, then watching the different sects eat each other, that's where the entertainment will be.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, and it just amazes me that, you know, it's 2022, you know, I mean, if this was 1940, you know, but today with access to so much, you know, so much education, you know, everybody has at their phone the ability to pretty much know what's going on in any place in this country.
Yeah.
And the mere fact that we have so many people, huge swaths of land that can be so easily duped, is saddening.
Yeah, I say we're over misinformed, because we keep all looking at the, I think we need to learn to filter information a little bit better. For instance, everybody I talk to on the right, in fact, I still remember, I'm old enough to remember 2010, when all of my Tea Party people were walking around with their pocket constitutions, telling me how much they love the Constitution, they love carrying around their pocket. I doubt they ever read it, but now they've got their MAGA hat leader, basically wanting to, it doesn't work anymore for them. The Constitution needs to be set aside because, well, he lost.
But that's the thing. For the people who have been running around saying Constitution, 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 and now those same exact people, because their orange Lord and Savior decided that we need to do away with it so that they can go ahead and let him come back into power because he wants to be the dictator that he wants to be, they're okay with it now. And once again, it's all garbage. You know, these people just spew so much just lack of information that we have. And you know, here's the thing. This right here should be a perfect reason why we bring back the fairness doctrine. And we stop these organizations like Fox News and OE and CNN too, you know, stop these news agencies that are more willing to literally lie to their people because it's basically making them money.
Yeah, and but here's my question then, because I've had this debate with people before, and the fairness doctrine is one of those things that people throw out. This isn't the 1950s anymore. Most information comes on Facebook. Most information comes through social media, through the internet. How do you balance that in a fairness doctrine world then?
When you are a reputable news source, if you are considering yourself to be a news source, then you should be held accountable. Now, if you don't want to be a news source and you just want to be something that just spews garbage, it needs to be stated that, you know, even if it's like when advertisers have to list, you know, certain things that says,
sponsor.
You know, yeah, we are not exactly a reputable news source, but here we are.
Here's our BS anyway.
Yeah, at least make them have to say that, so that when they are, you know, they're going to always. And it's no different than when Fox News goes to the courts. I mean, they're even saying things like, nobody really listens to Tucker Carlson. I mean, but at the end of the day, it should say something like that. So, because there are a lot of people that aren't smart enough to realize that really Tucker Carlson isn't a reputable news source, but they believe everything that he says as if it's coming from Christ himself.
Yeah, but it's still not going to matter. They're still going to follow these talking heads, you know, and I don't know how you do that in a way that is going to balance things. I mean,
but at the end of the day, CNN, Fox News, OAN, MSNBC, every single news source, every news source out there that considers himself a news source should be held to a standard that says that before you run a story, you have to have so many different, whether it be, you know, things to show that it's true.
You need some sources.
So many witnesses, so many sources that show that this is a true story before you just blab it out everywhere. Because people are falling for this stuff. And just like you said, you know, you've got people right now that are voting for Herschel Walker because they think that, you know, there's a lot of horrible things that have been said about Reverend Warnock, you know, and just because he is a person that is an elected official, which basically says you can basically do anything you want as long as it's not libel that hurts their families or something like that. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, that's what's going on. A lot of people are falling for horrific things. And, you know, Reverend Warnock has done great things as a senator.
Yeah.
You know, he is a person that you can count on to support the good bills that help the people. Herschel Walker, and they don't want Herschel Walker to go to Washington, D.C. and fight for anything for the people of Georgia. They want Herschel Walker to go there and sit in a chair and vote exactly the way they tell him to vote, because they know that's the only thing they're going to get out of Herschel Walker. And if Herschel Walker so much as one day steps up and takes the microphone because he thinks he wants to leave his mark as a senator, he will. And it's going to be as the dumbest senator to ever occupy the chair.
And I got to tell you, there's a sadistic part of me. And I know there's a sadistic part in all of us that you know, on a certain level, on that level we never talk about, that want to see that train wreck.
Yeah, but I mean, how many people do we have to put on the train? Because we got Louie Gohmert, we got Paul Gosar, we got Marjorie Train Wreck Green, we got Lauren Boebert, we got, I mean, literally
Tommy Tuberville.
On and on. I mean, there's so many of these people that are already there that are literally spewing garbage and are embarrassing. And you know, the only people that aren't embarrassed by these people are the duped. You know, if you look at Marjorie Train Wreck Green and you think she's a patriot, you can't spell the word. That's how it is.
Wow. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're here with Rich Ojeda, head chief cook and bottle washer over at No Dems Left Behind. Also does incredible work over on the, you're still on the Young Turks, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And doing some stuff at Courier, I believe, right?
You're doing Young Turks, doing stuff at the Rebel HQ, just doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. You're like everywhere. I'm down here in Georgia and I'm talking with people and they go, you know, Rich? And I go, yeah, I know Rich. Yeah, we love Rich. So, you know, you've got a huge following here.
Well, and we're trying to pick up our game. You know, we're hoping that when we get into the new house, we're going to start and do an actual show.
And now you're in the new place. You know, you've got the confines there. Electric problems, though, as I understand.
Unfortunately, I'm in the area that apparently has a lot of people that absolutely refuse to allow people in the LGBTQ community to raise money for good causes. So then all of a sudden, I guess those toothless inbred folks decide, let's go ahead and attack the substations, and now we're out of power, and looks like we're going to be out of power probably until Thursday, but the FBI are involved, and the only good thing about this is that those people that attack those substations, I hope they're sitting in the dark, and I hope they're cold.
No, I mean, that's the part that got me. I saw the story, and I'm going, why would you blow up your own power station? Why? On what level does that make sense?
Yeah, well, you know, I moved here and I thought to myself, this is great. We love it here and we do love it here. But apparently there's also, and no matter where you go, you're always going to find that group of people that literally, you know, I mean, it's literally they'd have to pick up the dog excrement and taste test it before they told you, don't step there.
So now we're kind of looking toward the new year and a Republican-led Congress. What are you paying attention to? I know Kevin McCarthy has said that, you know, we're going to hear Hunter Biden's name a lot. I guess that's coming.
You know, if the Republicans want to shoot themselves in the foot, if they want to go after a private citizen like that, that's fine. If you're going to go after Hunter Biden, go after Jared Kushner. Go after Ivanka, Eric, and Don Jr. too. But it's okay. Take these next 2 years and you occupy our airtime with that garbage, because all you're doing is guaranteeing the fact that in 2024 we'll keep the Senate, we'll keep the presidency, and we're going to take back the House too. So you continue down that path and you make it to where Hunter Biden is the absolute biggest enemy in this country, because you're going to waste your time and you're not going to do anything for the people, and eventually they're going to wake up.
You know, that's one of the things that I've been hearing, you know, as I'm talking to people here in Georgia. It's, you know, I keep asking, you know, what is it that the Republicans have done to help make your lives better? You know, are there things that you can point to? And, you know, people want to throw out the tax, you know, bill, that the only bill that Trump got signed, the tax bill that really didn't help them. But the thought process is that, hey, there were tax cuts, so I must have gotten them, which is really kind of a weird dynamic.
Yeah, they didn't. And now their taxes are going to go up because that's one of the things that Donald Trump did. You know, I will tell you that I think that President Biden is hitting home runs. I'm not happy. I am not happy about the railroad thing, because at the end of the day, those guys only get 2 days off a year. And I got a lot of friends that work in the railroad industry. And I understand if they're that important that we cannot allow it to fail, then the least we should do is take care of those people and give them time with their families. And I'm going to tell you, you know, Joe Biden can say he signed a bill and we averted a strike, but those railroad workers are not happy. And make no mistake about it, they're not going to be supporting the Democrat Party in 2 years when Joe Biden runs again. He needs to do what's right. There's never a time when you can't go back and right a wrong.
Right.
And he needs to right this wrong.
No, this for me, and I've been talking about this the last couple of days. This was a moment where, and they still can, I think, to use this as an opportunity to say, you know, everybody needs sick days. And to move legislation to try and get everybody who works, the security and the dignity of having the ability, if you're sick, to stay home and not worry about being disciplined or loss of pay or being fired. But the bigger conversation, and you hit something there a minute ago, you said, you know, they're too big to fail. If they're too big to fail, Rich, aren't they too big to exist?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that, you know, we desperately need the rail industry right now.
Yeah, no, aren't they too big to be monopolized when we got seven carriers that control?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's a shame where there was a time when we had so many different, you know, businesses that have been reduced down to just a few. You know, there used to be like eight or nine gas companies, and now there's three. You know, it's things like that. But I'm telling you, this is a thing that, you know, everybody deserves to be respected. And when you've got people that have to work 363 days a year, I mean, that's literally, they get 2 days off a year. I think they could probably get weekend or weekday or something like that, 1 day off a week. But they only get 2 days off a year, like Christmas and Thanksgiving. They deserve more than that.
Yeah, the rest of the time they're on call.
They're on call. These people work long hours. I got buddies of mine that work where they will literally go to work and they'll get on a train and they'll ride that train for the next 2 weeks where they're on it pretty much nonstop. You know, they don't get no family time.
Yep.
And there's no reason why, you know, we can't try to do something to take care of these people.
This is why Democrats are terrible at messaging. And this is where my anger was. This is where my frustration was, because this was an opportunity. And what they did is they left the window open for rats like Marco Rubio and John Kennedy and Mike Braun and Ted Cruz and Lindsey freaking Graham.
To come on and roast. You know, there's only one Democrat that voted no. And who that is.
That was your guy.
Good old Joe Manchin. I'm going to tell you right now. Joe Manchin makes his money from coal. Joe Manchin don't make a lot of his money as a senator. Now, he does some underhanded deals, make no mistake about it, that put money in his pocket. But I can tell you right now, every single daggone train operator that drives coal that benefits that guy, they should daggone strike.
I'm right there with you. So last question I've got for you, and bringing it back here to Georgia. You know, the polling seems to be in a whole bunch of different places. I've got people here telling me it's going to be a fraction of a percent that Warnock's going to win. All of the polls have Warnock 90% chance of winning, 86% chance of winning. Any predictions for Tuesday night?
I believe that Reverend Warnock is going to pull it off. I think that, like, you know, I think that there's plenty of Democrats out there that are looking at this and they're saying, I can't vote for a person like this. I can't vote for a guy who is an absolute liar. I can't vote for a guy who says he's against abortion and yet he's paid for countless abortions with women. You know, he has a violent streak with him. You know, that's not who anybody wants representing them in Washington, D.C. What's sad is how the Republicans have come out and said, we don't care. We don't care what he's done. We want control is what they want. They're not going to get control. They've already lost that. They lost that because, number one, they continued to keep their head up Donald Trump's fourth point of contact. And if you've ever jumped out of an airplane, that's your butt. You know, they've had their head up there forever. And that seems like that's all they really care about. and they continue pushing garbage. We now know that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about elections being stolen, because Americans are sick and tired of watching sore losers cry when they get beat, because they don't have any messaging when they run that makes anybody want to vote for them. All, you know, Carrie Lake did nothing but talk about daggone Donald Trump getting his election stolen. Yeah, guess what? That's why she's kicking rocks right now.
Yeah, well, and she lost again today. They certified the election.
Yeah, and she's going to still continue crying. Let them keep crying. At the end of the day, they can keep crying at home.
Going to be interesting to see how the results turn out tomorrow. But, Rich, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff. Can't wait for you to get electric back in your neighborhood.
Me too, brother. Hey, you have a good one.
Thanks so much, our good friend Rich Ojeda. Again, make sure you check out the work he does over at No Dems Left Behind. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. Going to take a quick break right back here from Atlanta, Georgia. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1955. That was the day the American Federation of Labor and the Congress of Industrial Organizations merged to become the AFL-CIO. The American Federation of Labor was a confederation of unions that can trace its roots all the way back to just after the Civil War in 1866. Samuel Gompers initially established the Federation of Organized Trades and Labor Unions, which reorganized as the American Federation of Labor. This group was comprised of craft unions and represented primarily skilled laborers. However, as industrialization grew, many union organizers believed in the idea of industrial unions. They wanted to expand to organize more unskilled workers by industry. John L. Lewis, head of the United Mine Workers Union, was one union leader who wanted this change. Out of this idea, the Committee of Industrial Unions was formed as part of the American Federation of Labor. This group felt its issues were being ignored by the AFL. As a result, in 1938, it split from the AFL and became the Congress of Industrial Organizations. Members of the CIO included the United Mine Workers, the United Auto Workers, and the United Steel Workers. The 1950s were a high point for labor unions in the United States. One-third of all workers in the nation were members of unions. However, both the AFL and the CIO were concerned about the future of organized labor. The Taft-Hartley Act, passed in 1947 over the veto of President Harry S. Truman, made organizing more difficult. The two groups realized they would be more effective if they banded together under one roof. The American Federation of Labor and the Congress of Industrial Organizations merged to become today's AFL-CIO. Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
I'll tell you, I love all of the football analogy emails I've been getting. You know, we've got one last Hail Mary attempt to get Herschel Walker elected. You know, the Democrats are about to spike the ball. It's time for us to rally the troops. I mean, the level of keep us stupid is at an all-time high. Yes, he was a great football player. He was. I mean, he was amazing. That doesn't mean that it doesn't mean he can do that in the Senate. It's not like he's going to go running over the old guys in the Senate to pass something that's going to help someone. Because, again, I look at this campaign, one of the worst campaigns I've ever seen, because there's no substance. There's nothing there. This is the weird part. What does he stand for? And as I've been talking to people, it's apparent that no one is voting for Herschel Walker. There's nobody going, I can't wait for me to go vote for Herschel Walker. I've yet to have that happen. I've had a couple of, well, he's a good one. He's the only good one. I've had that, which is a weird statement. And there's something to be unpacked there. But mostly it's about their fear of what Senator Warnock, because it was what they've been told. He's a socialist. He's a Marxist. I've been hearing this frame a lot. You know, as a pastor, would want to feed the hungry, give shelter to
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to pva.org today.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcast.